You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. Maybe it's us, but it certainly seems like Christmas decorations went up a little early this year. Is it our need for something uplifting and festive? Anything uplifting and festive right now? If so, Michigan, as one of the top holiday fir tree producers in the country, is the right place to be. With us today are Amy Start, Executive Director of the Michigan Christmas Tree Association, and Scott Powell, who is Nursery Manager at Dutchman Tree Farms in Manton. That's just north of Cadillac. Amy, Scott, welcome to Stateside.
Welcome. Hello.
Thanks for having us.
First of all, could you two tell us how the season's going so far? Scott, I know you have a pretty large operation. How are sales going this year?
Sales really across the country has been very positive. We've seen a lot of retail garden centers, retail corner lots, as well as box stores looking to reorder and replenish. A lot of folks saw over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, really almost two weekends worth of sales. Maybe that's a testimony to a reduced Black Friday push on the retail side, or maybe it's just a cause of people wanting to get out and get back to some normalcy, some level of common shared family experience that maybe they haven't been able to have here in 2020. But retail sales have been strong on the wholesale side. I know a lot of choose and cut farms are experiencing the exact same thing. Some farms even being up almost 100% year to date.
Well, it's confession time. We actually did put up more than one tree in our house this year just to try to get the spirit rolling a little faster. Amy, does that track with what you're hearing from other producers?
Oh, yeah. It's been a very, very busy season for sure. You know, people are excited. Matter of fact, a lot of farms, you know, it's been so busy that, you know, I suggest people call ahead and make sure they're still open because they have been so busy selling out. So it's been a great, great season.
Are there ways in which the pandemic has affected the season for growers? I'm not necessarily talking about demand and how many people might want an extra boost of Christmas spirit, but just ways in which production has had to change. Amy, what are you hearing?
Well, I'll talk about the choose and cut side as far as like with COVID, you know, they had to decide on some best practices to make sure it was a safe experience for people to go and get a Christmas tree. Great thing about going to a Christmas tree farm is that there's lots of land. So being socially distant is very easy to do. But, you know, sanitizing all the shared equipment, you know, setting up situations as far as like signage and wearing masks and keeping people, you know, 6 feet apart in lines and things like that. So that's kind of some of the stuff that the choose and cut side was looking at. And I know Scott can talk a little bit about, you know, as far as help and how that has been affected with COVID.
Sure. Scott, I know that there's a lot of seasonal labor that you use to get through the season. How have things changed for those folks?
Well, we've tried to distance and create separation as best we could. One thing we found was having mandated COVID testing, the state mandated testing back in August. So any employee and every new hire had to be tested. And, you know, we fared very well through that. Anybody who may have tested positive, they ended up being quarantined just as anybody would have in any other setting. So what we found is that we had the ability to kind of manage that. Our work crews tend to live together, travel together, work together. And so through that, we didn't really have to adapt a whole lot in that practice.
Scott, earlier in the pandemic, it was really hard to get access to tests. Are you where you need to be in terms of getting the resources to get people tested?
Yeah, it wasn't a problem. The state provided the testing resources as well as the personnel to conduct the tests. So, you know, that was in place. Larger agricultural producers and ag manufacturing ended up having to do that as a health order mandate starting back in August. And so it was initially on us to find the tests. The state was able to provide those to us.
That's awesome. I know, Scott, that you keep in touch with a lot of retailers. Are you seeing much different on the lots where trees are sold this year?
Well, presently I'm in Ohio, and we are finding that folks have actually fewer trees on the ground here this week than they would like. They still are optimistic for a strong season, but being able to get more trees or additional product is creating a few challenges for them. There is an undersupply of trees right now in the market, and with this increased demand, it's just putting a little bit further strain on farms being able to try and do they decide to cut into next year's harvest a little bit, which then may have a domino effect in years to come. So most folks are, nope, this is our number and this is what we need to maintain. Retailers are, they always want more product in, but there's only a level at which we can do when your seed to harvest takes you 10 to 12 years.
Right. Is the shortage strictly due to demand issues right now?
No, it really stems back all the way to 2008. And we had the recession. There was an actual oversupply at the time. And during that oversupply, farms were being paid less, and so they couldn't plant back as much. So it's kind of a combination of a lot of factors all the way back from the recession in 08 to today. So yes, there is increased demand, but it might as well just be an effect from 12 years ago.
Interesting. Amy, can you tell us a little bit more about Michigan's Christmas tree industry? How many farms are there that produce these trees?
Well, there's over 500 Christmas tree farms in Michigan, and it's about a farm value of about $35 million to Michigan's economy.
And do you know how many workers are involved in the industry?
That I would not know. I couldn't even guess. How about you, Scott? Could you guess?
Probably depends on the size of the operation.
Well, I would definitely say there's over 1,000 workers, just considering the size of our farm and what everybody else is doing. You know, at our peak, we had nearly 600 employees on payroll. And, for us, it's a big undertaking to kind of staff up that high. But, year after year, we're able to find workers. And I know a lot of other farms are too, but it is getting harder the labor force is harder to come by.
Yeah,
especially this year. I've heard a lot of people talking about how hard it was to get people to work. A lot of students work in farms, through this holiday selling season. And, some people just aren't letting their kids go to work or don't want them to this year because of COVID. So it was a little bit more of a challenge.
Michigan growers, I know, handle several different types of tree species. Scott, can you tell me about a few of your favorite varieties?
Right now, the definite consumer favorite is the Fraser fir. And that is our number one selling tree that we produce. We're finding that the true firs, the Fraser fir, the balsam fir, those tend to be the more popular. But we are seeing even a resurgence, amongst some of the pine and some of the spruce. Maybe that's attributable to, people not being able to find the exact species they want, maybe in their zip code, but we are seeing a resurgence. We're also seeing a bit of a resurgence in Michigan State tree, the Eastern White Pine, that used to be a highly popular tree, and people kind of went away from it. But it seems to be that there's a resurgence there.
If you're just joining us, we're talking Michigan Christmas trees with Amy Start, the Executive Director of Michigan's Christmas Tree Association, and Scott Powell, Nursery Manager for Dutchman Tree Farms. I wonder what it is that drives the trends with Christmas trees. I feel like I wasn't seeing that many slender trees in decades past, but all of a sudden, maybe about 10 or 15 years ago, they really got to be a thing. Do you know, is it just people posting pictures of trees on Pinterest somewhere and somebody decides, hey, this is a good look, or, some Instagram influencer says, hey, this is a beautiful tree that I got this year. What do you have eyes on in terms of what may be driving people's tastes, Scott?
What we see is the largest demographic of consumer for real trees is the baby boomers. As they age, they don't want that big, huge, monstrous tree. And so there's a bit of a trend to a smaller tree, a lighter tree, a more consumer-friendly product. It's not the Clark Griswold opening up the tree in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation anymore. They want that smaller, slender tree. It's easier for them to handle. We're seeing a very large move to what's called a tabletop tree. It's a 2 to 4 foot tree where, we still want that real tree in the house, but man, we're going to go and we're grandparents now, and maybe we're not going to have the grandkids over. So we're seeing a move and a push there. Into that sector, but it's also just like my kids are doing. You know, I've got five kids at home, and we have two small tabletop trees up in the house, and the kids have them in their bedrooms. So there is a big push there as well.
Amy, what do you keep an eye on in terms of what might be driving people's taste?
Oh, I think there's a lot of things that, you know, people look at when they go to get a Christmas tree. And I know personally, you know, I like a tree that can hold heavier ornaments. My mom loves to get me like holiday Hallmark kind of ornaments, and they're very heavy. So I try to find trees that can have stronger branches that can hold those ornaments. There's people that like, you know, trees with big holes so they can put those big ornaments in. But then, you know, too, I think one of the things I think people don't realize too is when they go out to get a Christmas tree, you know, you go into the field and you look at it, and it can be a Clark Griswold moment, because you can go look for a tree and then you're like, oh, that's the perfect one. You get it home and you're like, wow, that is a very large tree. I didn't realize it was so big, because they don't look as big out in the field. Oh, I do want to warn people that, like, measure your space ahead of time. And then when you go out there, you know, really take a look at the tree that you're purchasing to make sure it fits that space.
Yeah. What should I look for when I'm picking out a Christmas tree? Amy mentioned the size issue and just having a realistic sense of what they're going after. But Scott, do you have any other tips?
You know, everyone always, the essential thing is making sure that that trunk is straight, you know, and making that determination. You know, we grow trees, and, you know, we've got thousands of acres of trees. But at the end of the day, when you're out in the field, it's just finding that one that just kind of catches your eye. And, you know, we always say happy spouse, happy house, and just making sure that everybody's on board with, it's always a wise decision as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest trend. It's what you like when you go out there, you know, what tree calls you, you know, like, oh yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes I go out and I'll think, oh, you know, I want a Fraser fir. And then I get out there and I'm like, no, I want that concolor fir. It smells like oranges and it's so pretty. You know, it's just like, yeah, that's the one, you know? And so I think that's the neat thing about real Christmas trees, is they're all different and they're all unique.
There is a huge debate going on in my household right now about how to get the tree to absorb more of the water that we provide for it. Could one of you give us the quick lesson on how to care for a real tree once you get it home?
Yeah, I'll take that. Okay. So, you know, whether your tree was cut 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago, or you just cut it yesterday, when you get that home, trees are naturally going to heal themselves. And so they're going to want to close off that fresh cut. And so you want to make sure you give it a fresh cut. And within maybe an hour or two, try to get it in even a 5-gallon bucket of water. Once you get it home, you get in the bucket of water, get it in the stand, and just really, really watch that water line to make sure that water's staying above it. So it is. It's all about a fresh tree. It's all about a fresh cut. And then just making sure you're on top of the water level. There's a lot of people out there that'll try to sell you or tell you on, hey, add sugar water or add this additive to it. At the end of the day, it's just fresh water and a fresh cut. And that's really all the consumer needs to do to make sure their tree's going to last them through the season.
Yeah. And it does take a lot of water, especially that first week. I'm always quite surprised. And before I got into the business myself, you know, we had water our tree. And then, you know, a day or two would go by and my husband would say, I think the stand might be dry. And of course, we'd put our little fingers in there and oh, it's dry as a bone. Not a good idea. So stay on top of the water. Very, very important.
Is there anything you need to do, assuming that you do have the fresh cut on the bottom? Is there anything special that you need to do to help the tree absorb?
No, a tree's naturally going to move water up and down through the cambium layer in the bark. And so as that, the tree's just going to run its natural course during that time. There's nothing special that really needs to be done. Just making sure that water level stays above the bottom of that cut, and the consumer, the end user is going to be happy, and you'll be able to enjoy that tree throughout the season.
You know, Scott, my last question is just, I'm thinking about what you said about how prior years' economic trends can influence what's going to happen in the years to come. I don't know if this year is normal in any sense of the word, but are the things happening in 2020 going to influence your farm's business in the years to come, do you think?
Well, you know, everything that we do is gearing for a decade ahead. And had we had a crystal ball 10, 12 years ago, you know, we maybe would have made some different business decisions. But today, you know, everything that we do is going to drive us to what we're going to do in the future. As we look at maybe what are consumer trends and what are we hearing in the upcoming generations, you know, that'll help determine how we plant our trees, how we space our trees out in the field, what species we grow. What we do know is we are seeing a very strong movement to common shared experience amongst, you know, households. And so, you know, we're very positive for that. One challenge that every facet of agriculture faces is an aging grower population. And so, you know, trying to encourage farms to get other generations involved is going to be key and critical to the continued success for agriculture in the United States and Christmas tree farms, even right here in Michigan.
Amy, if folks still haven't found that perfect tree, how do you suggest they get started?
Just if they're looking for a Christmas tree or a farm, go to our website, which is mcta.org. And there is a web locator on there that will help them find a farm and a tree right in their area.
Amy Start is Executive Director of the Michigan Christmas Tree Association. We've been talking to Scott Powell, too. He's the nursery manager at Dutchman Tree Farms in Manton. Scott, Amy, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for taking some time with us.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, April. Merry Christmas.